journey into the Bible and explore its hidden text and rich wisdom. Join Adil Kazilski Mondays at 1 p.m. for the trip of a lifetime.
And it's a beautiful Shavua Tov to all our listeners on 101.9 High FM. I'm Adil Kazilski, and it's my favorite time of the week. I'm learning Torah together with you, and we've got one more session before we actually get our teeth into learning each and every single one of the Ten Commandments. What I'd like to do today is just to give you again what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is that we've been getting a broad perspective on the magnificence, the enormity, the importance, the fundamental of what it meant to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. And I want to go and show you a little bit more now. We're going to play a little bit of Gematria. I don't know if anybody knows what Gematria is. Gematria is when we assign numerical value to our letters. So just as an introduction, we've got the Aleph Beis, which is 26 letters. We've got Aleph, which has a value of 1, Bet, which is 2, Gimel, which is 3, etc., etc. And one way to study Torah is to actually look at the numerical value of words, letters, sentences. And you will see that even from that level, we can learn a tremendous amount around what Torah is. So I just want to show you a little bit more from a totality, what it meant to receive the Ten Commandments. And how we can actually justify that we're saying we receive 10 commandments. Everybody knows what the 10 commandments is, right? But when we speak about the fact that we receive the 10 commandments, what we're really saying is that we receive 613 mitzvahs. Well, let's see how we can go and prove that. So the fundamental is that obviously, the Ten Commandments were the foundation and the root of all the commandments in the Torah. And each of the Ten Commandments actually includes a large portion of the commandments as a whole. Okay, how do we know that? Because if you go look in chapter 24, verse 12, for those of you that are Bible fundies, you want to go check me. God says to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the Torah and the commandments that I have written. So while the tablets that God gave Moses seemingly only look like the Ten Commandments, we've got to infer from here that the Ten Commandments included all the other commandments. And I'm going to break it down for you, and then we're going to play Gematria. We're going to go and see numerical value. So the first thing is that if we look at the first and the second commandment, the first commandment is what? I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. And the second commandment is don't have any other gods but me. Now, what you can see, and we'll discuss that a little bit more further on, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, okay, is a positive mitzvah. Do not have any other gods before me is a negative mitzvah. Now, we know that the 613 commandments that we have, that Jews are obligated to keep, are divided into 248 positive mitzvahs, 365 negative mitzvahs. Obviously, 248 do's, 365 don'ts. So we are taught in the Midrash, firstly, that the first positive mitzvah, I am the Lord your God, contains is an overall umbrella for all the positive 247 other positive mitzvahs. And do not have any other gods but me fall and is the umbrella for the 365 negative mitzvahs. Now, you need to understand that, because why would you do a mitzvah? You would only do a positive mitzvah because I'm the Lord your God. You believe in a God. So if I have a positive mitzvah to go visit the sick or be kind or give charity, why would I be motivated to do all of these things because I have a God in my world, and my God in my world is commanding me to go out and illuminate and enlighten and make this place a better dwelling place for God. So all the positive mitzvahs, if I'm keeping Shabbos or I'm keeping a Yom Tov or any of the positive mitzvahs, I'm doing so because I believe that there is a God. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. The negative mitzvahs, okay, don't kill, don't steal, don't murder, don't do all of these things, or under, do not have any other gods but me. Because if we do not hold that we're not allowed to have anybody else, then so what? I can go justify why I can go kill, or I can go steal, or I can go do whatever I want. I can go and serve idols. So the do nots are a motivation for us not to have any other gods but God himself. And the positives, I am the Lord your God, that's the motivation to go out and change the world. So that is the first thing that I wanted to bring to your attention, okay? But now what I'm going to go and do, and what I'm going to tell you now is not exhaustive, okay? I'm going to try start. I can see we've got a couple of minutes before the break, but I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to go through some of the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to tell you and show you how each and one of the Ten Commandments is actually an umbrella for a couple of others. Because remember what I said? The Ten Commandments actually are the umbrellas for the 613 mitzvot. I'm the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. That is in full the first commandment. So from there, what do we learn? To love God, to worship every day, to fear God, to sanctify God's name, to revere God's sanctuary, to revere the synagogue, because we believe the divine presence is there, to offer the Paschal lamb, not to eat chametz on Pesach, to recite the Haggadah, to eat an olive-sized piece of matzah, to drink the four cups of wine on the Seder, to keep the festival of Sukkot, to put on tefillin, to affect a mezuzah, to redeem the firstborn, to separate the truma, to separate our masa. Truma is a type of offering, masa is a tithe, to separate the dough offering. All of that is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from that land of slavery. Now, you can see I am the Lord your God fits into loving God, worshiping him every day, fearing him, sanctifying his name, revering his sanctuary, etc., etc. Who took you out of the land of Egypt. So we've got all the mitzvahs of offering the Paschal lamb, not eating chametz, reciting the Haggadah, eating some matzah, drinking four cups of wine. And then from the house of slavery, what did we do when we went into the desert? We lived in Sukkot, so we got the festival of Sukkot. We put on tefillin and mezuzahs and redeeming our firstborn, all because we came out of Egypt. Initially, the firstborn were the people that were going to be our Kohanim. Okay, things change later, but that's what it is. And so you can see under the first mitzvah, I am the Lord your God, we've got, maybe I've read to you 20 mitzvahs. I'm going to continue after this break and just show you a couple of a couple more examples.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
All right, welcome back. And we're talking about the fact that the Ten Commandments are an umbrella to lots of other mitzvahs. Let's go to the second commandment. Do not have any other gods before me. That includes not worshipping idols, not engaging in witchcraft, not prophesying falsely, not proselytizing others to idolatrous religions, not leading the public to worship idols, not to tattoo, not to tear out hair from the dead, not to make marks in the flesh for the dead, not to plant different species together, not to wear shatnas. Why? Because again, you can see all of these things. When you don't have any other gods, you can't practice witchcraft. You can't pretend you're a prophet. You can't start doing all sorts of things that deny the existence of God. So there you've got the second commandment. The third commandment says, do not take the name of God, your Lord, in vain. So then we've got all the mitzvahs of Shavuot, which are oaths, Nedarim, vows, consecrations, bans, Nazarite vows, desecrating God's name, reciting a blessing in vain. Lots of mitzvahs under not taking Hashem's name in vain. Then we've got, for example, the fourth commandment, remember the Shabbat and sanctify it. Under there is all the festivals, all the festival offerings, all the daily offerings that were brought in the temple, all the additional offerings brought, Tamidim and Musafim, the Rosh Chodesh offering, the sanctification of the new moon, the Eruv, not to travel outside the Tachum, which is the border around each city, which we cannot travel out on Shabbat. So there's a lot of mitzvahs under remembering the Shabbos to sanctify it. Honoring your mother and father, the fifth commandment. You're allowed to strike a parent. You're allowed to insult a parent. You're allowed to curse a parent. You have to have respect for the parent. You have to believe in the traditions of our sages. You have to show respect to Talmidei Chachamim and other important people. All fall under honoring your mother and father. Here's a very good one. The sixth one is do not murder. Well, how do we murder? Number one is that we actually murder. So there's the whole thing about capital punishment. When we speak Lashon Hara, we murder. When we refuse charity to the poor, we murder. When we shame another person in public, we murder. When we harm another person's livelihood, we murder. When we inform one another to the government, we murder. When we embarrass somebody and demand we pay back the debts, we murder. Let's take the next commandment, do not commit adultery. So under committing adultery is all the sorts and all the laws around incest and inappropriate sexual relationships and bestiality relationships and all the laws that govern the relationship between husband and wife, particularly when it comes to nida, comes to times in the month when husband and wife cannot be physically intimate. All of fall under do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Under do not steal. That you've got to keep a trust, you've got to be honest in your partnerships, you're not allowed to take interest on loans, you're not allowed to cheat, you're not allowed to take bribes, you're not allowed to take property that's not rightly yours, you're not allowed to mislead somebody, you're not allowed to engage in dishonest monetary transactions, you're not allowed to cheat, etc., etc. I hope in me explaining that, okay, you can go and see and understand that every single one of the mitzvahs is an umbrella to other mitzvahs. So when we received the Ten Commandments, we in fact received all 613, all the positive, all the negative, as I've shown you through the first and second commandment. And then under each commandment, you can see there are commandments of commandments, subcategories, so to speak. So that is something really, really interesting and something that we need to understand, because you can easily go and say, you know what, I received the Ten Commandments and that's what I'm keeping. I'll keep the Ten Commandments. I don't have to do anything else. But anything else that the Torah is telling you has in fact to do with the Ten Commandments. So that is very, very important for you to understand. Right, let's continue. And let us understand further. If you carefully count the letters in the Ten Commandments, now we're going to start playing gematria, we're going to start playing numbers. If you count the letters in the Ten Commandments, you will see there are 620 letters. So the question is going to be, why are there 620 letters in the Torah? Well, there are quite a few reasons, really, really nice ones, so that I can explain. Firstly, we just went and said there are how many mitzvahs in the Torah? 613. So if there's 620, we can say the 620 letters are alluding to the 613 mitzvahs. We have seven left over. There are a few suggestions, or few ideas, I shouldn't call them suggestions, few ideas the rabbis explain why there's 620. The first is that the 620 represents the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah plus the 7 days of creation. So the last seven letters parallel the 7 days of creation. Why? Because we are told that the whole reason why the world was created was because God looked into the Torah, which is basically the blueprint for our lives, And he created the world with the do's and don'ts that the Torah prescribes so that man can live in this world and create a dwelling place for God in this world. So the whole reason why this entire universe and that you and I exist is for the sake of Torah. Okay? And so this is very, very, very important for us to understand. The second reason why we have 620, we are told, is that there are 613 mitzvot of the Torah. And then we have a 7 extra mitzvot. Those are what we call the Shiva mitzvot b'nei Noach. So anybody who's a Gentile and listening to this now, and you ask yourself, well, where do I fit into the whole picture in terms of learning and studying the Torah? You're not obligated to keep the 613 mitzvot of the Torah as Jews are, but you are obligated in the 7 mitzvot that we call B'nai Noah, which means those were the mitzvot that were given at the time of Noah, before there was Abraham, okay? And we had 7 mitzvot. What are they? Not to worship idols, not to curse God, not to murder, not to commit adultery and sexual immorality, not to steal, not to eat flesh torn from a living animal, and to establish courts of justice. Those are the 7 mitzvot that a non-Jewish person has to keep. And so when we have the 620 mitzvot, we are saying that the 10 commandments included the 613 that had to go to the Jewish people, and the 7 mitzvot b'nei Noach, the seven mitzvahs that belong to the Gentile world. And we have today a lot of communities around the world that remain Gentile, and they purport, though they keep those 7 mitzvahs, and they're called B'nai Noach congregations. There's another reason for the 620. That is that we have the 613 Torah commandments, as we know, the 248 positive and 365 negative. The 7 other, the number 7 pertains to rabbinic mitzvot, which means that there were 7 mitzvot that the rabbis were given license to create rabbinic mitzvahs as well. What are the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs? Hallel, Purim, Chanukah, washing our hands before bread, lighting Shabbos candles, and saying blessings on food. That's 7 laws that the rabbis enacted into the fabric of our halacha. And so 620 again agrees to the fact that we have 613 Torah laws, which we call Midoraita, and then we have 7 Midorabbanan from the rabbis that we keep to the same level that we keep the 613 mitzvot. So there you have 620 again. So we have 3 reasons just to summarize. 613 mitzvot remains the same, but the 7 either pertains to the 7 days of creation, because the world was created because of Torah. The 7 mitzvot B'nai Noach, which means that Torah and the 10 commandments is fundamentally a book for the entire world, not only for the Jewish people. And then the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs that was enacted in the course of time by the rabbis. And they're not either or, they're all. And. Finally, one more allusion to the 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and that is when we come to talk we come to talk about pure gematria, and that is that when we learn Torah, we are told that we earn a crown. It's called Keter Torah, the crown of Torah. Interestingly, if you take the letters Chaf, Tet, Resh, okay, which are the letters of Keter, which means crown, Chaf is 20, Tet is 400, Resh is 200. If you add that all up, 620 is the value. And so we learned here that if a person studies Torah for the right motives, then he'll be worthy of the crown of Torah. But what I love about Gematria is that there is a lot of interplay around it. If you take the same word, Keter, and you move around the letters, you can get the word Karet. Same letters, different way. Chaf, Resh, Taf. Okay, and that comes to Tet, sorry, and that comes to Karet, means when you get spiritually cut off, which means, God forbid, you ignore keeping the Torah. Unfortunately, sadly, we can potentially put ourselves in the position where our soul gets cut off spiritually from the life source of God. And that is a very, very painful position for the soul to find itself in. So there you have a whole lot of ideas around the fact that there are 620 letters. I'm going to give you one more. How do we know, we can ask, that the Torah is the wisdom of God? How do we know that it came from a divine being? Well, there is a verse that we say all the time, many, many times, in many, many prayers, on all different days, okay? And it's even made up into a song. And that is the verse, Hashem Melech, God is King. Hashem Malach, God was King. Hashem Yimloch, God will be King. Lo'olam va'ed, forever and ever. When we are saying the verse, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, Lo'olam Va'ed, that God is King, God was King, God will be King forever and ever. What we are saying with that verse is we are asserting that the only true reality in this world is God. He was, He is, and He always will be. It's one of the 13 principles of faith that the Rambam holds. Now, you can guess that if you added up the numerical value of this verse, okay, Hashem, which I'm not pronouncing properly, is the letters Yud, He, Vav, and He. We've got three times, Hashem, 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 Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. So let's add it up this way. So the Yud, the He, the Vav, and the He add up to 26. So we've got three 26s. Then we've got Melech, Malach, Same letters, just different pronunciation. Those are 90 each. Yimloch is 106. Le'olam is 176. Va'ed is 80. And da-da-da-dam, you guessed it. It comes to 620. So when we say the words Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed, it has a numerical value of 620. What we are saying is that we believe with utmost faith that this is God's wisdom. And it is, because if you are intellectually honest and you sit and you start learning Torah and you start learning it with a vibrancy and an understanding, you will see you'll never come to the end of understanding Torah, because it is so deep. It has so many facets. You can learn it on so many levels. It's infinite. Why? Because it comes from the infinite God. How many words are there in the Ten Commandments? We've been talking about the letters of the Ten Commandments, that there's 620 letters. There are, in fact, 172 words in the Torah. In Hebrew, if you want to put 172, it's a kuf, which is 100, ayin, which is 70, and a bet, which is 2. So you take those letters, it spells the word akev, and akev comes to mean a great reward. You can look it up in Psalms 19, verse 12. There's the word Akev, and in that translation there, it means reward. So here we are getting another idea about the Ten Commandments, that when we learn the Ten Commandments, what we are doing is that we are allowing ourselves the opportunity to be rewarded in this world and in the world to come with the benevolence of godliness. And truthfully, as a Jewish person in particular, when you are not connected to God, you're not connected to his Torah, you're not keeping his mitzvahs, there is a lack, there is a fundamental deep lack. And it doesn't matter how much we pursue, whatever else we pursue, or however much we tell ourselves stories, you will see and you will understand and you will appreciate that you cannot be fully fulfilled unless you get connected to the infinite wisdom of Torah, because the infinite wisdom of Torah is in fact coming from an infinite God. And we are a chelek elokai mimal mamash. We are a veritable part of that infinity. Our soul is a chip of godliness.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
Okay, now here's another interesting verse. And here's, it's quite amazing. I'm quite mind boggled about it. I wonder, are you boggled what I'm telling you? Or are you going, yeah, nothing exciting? Let me know. 34519 is our SMS line, 061-895-1019 is our Telegram number. Okay, I'm going to carry on playing some number games with you. When next week we start learning the Ten Commandments properly, you'll see that the first verse that introduces the Ten Commandments is made up of seven words, okay? And it is made up of 28 letters. It says, Vayidaber Elokim et kol hadvarim ha'ele lemor. God spoke all these words, saying. There's seven words. Vayidaber 1, Elokim 2, et 3, kol 4, hadvarim 5, ha'ele 6, lemor, saying. And if you had to look at all the letters, I'll leave it to you in your own time. You can add up all those letters and you'll see there's 28 letters. Seven words, 28 letters with the words, God spoke all of these words, saying. Now I'm going to ask the question, where else in the Torah do we have a verse of seven words and 28 letters? And obviously, it would make obvious sense that it has to be connected to the Ten Commandments. I don't know if anybody will know the answer, so I won't keep you in suspense for long. But believe it or not, Ripley's Believe It or Not, Torah's Believe It or Not, the verse, Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz, is seven words, 28 letters. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Here again, we are seeing the profound connection to the fact that this world was created completely and only for the sake of Torah, of its learning and of its fulfillment of mitzvot. So, Bereshit 1, Bara 2, Elokim 3, Et 4, Hashamayim 5, Ve'et 6, Haaretz 7 is a holographic image of Vayidaber Elokim et kol hadvarim ha'ele lemor. God spoke all these words, saying. So in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, are the same as God spoke all of these words, saying, because there is an inextricable connection between the creation of the world and the keeping of Torah. Then we have another verse in Torah that is seven words, 28 letters, and you all know that, right? You all know that, and it's something very, very interesting. It's the verse, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach, La'alam Ul'almei Almaya. This is the verse that we respond cumulatively, collectively, as a congregation when Kaddish is said. You hear a person saying Kaddish, and then he comes to a specific place where we all answer out loud, Yeheshme Rabba Mevarach La'alam Ol Olme Almaya. Okay, and what does that mean? It means may his great name be blessed forever to all eternity. First of all, let me explain, it is that anybody who says this with and says each word clearly, he not only becomes and is counted as a partner with God and creation, not only is he counted as if he heard the Ten Commandments from God at Har Sinai, but that when you say these words out loudly and with intent, your heart's desires will be considered and accepted. And you will see in many, many places, people say it with a tremendous amount of feeling and vigor and what's the name? And connection there. So that is another idea around the fact that the seven words and 28 letters of the first verse is what equals the creation of the world and pronouncing the eternity of God. The Ten Commandments, there are Ten Commandments. So those parallel the 10 sayings for which the world was created. Why do we have 10 commandments? Because it agrees to the 10 sayings that how the world was created. We know that in the beginning of creation, we have the idea, Vayomer Elohim, and God said, Yehi Or, let there be light. Vayomer Elohim, and when God said, and he created the firmament, and he created the living beings, and he created the trees and the bees and all of that. So again, the Ten Commandments are parallel to the Ten Sayings for which the world was created. Why? Because again, it comes to teach us that the world was created only for the sake of Torah. So as long as we keep the Torah, the world endures. When we do not, unfortunately, the world can experience major catastrophes. How do we know that? Because in Jeremiah it says, if not for my covenant of day and night, I would not have set up the decree of heaven and earth, which means if we study the Torah day and night, the heaven and earth are sustained. And I have to put in a word over here, because right now in our contemporary times, there is a divisiveness amongst the Jews, particularly in Israel, around the fact that the Haredim are not coming to the army. We need to understand that the Haredim are in the army, okay? Meaning that for the majority of them, if they sit and study Torah day and night, they are protecting not only that their brothers who have taken up arms and have gone physically into the army to fight, they are protecting Israel. And one of the fundamental mistakes we are making is that we're trying to divorce the two and trying to say, well, no, it's not fair. Everybody should share the load. I'm not saying that I'm against any Haredim going to the army. If they can, they should, they must. But all of us have different jobs. We were 12 tribes, and every tribe had a different function in Am Yisrael. The Kohanim and the Levim never worked. They were only our representatives in the Beit HaMikdash. There were teachers and there were scholars and there were tradesmen. The famous relationship between Yisachar and Zvulun. One went out to sea and was seafarers, and the other sat and learned Torah. And the merit of the Torah became halves of Zvulun, and Zvulun supported Yisachar, and so forth and so on. So we cannot go and say that, you know what, let's just work on a physical way. Let everybody do what they have to do and forget about Torah. Torah sustains the Jewish people. Torah sustains the world. And without the learning of Torah, we could be in deep, deep trouble.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
And welcome back. We've got a couple of minutes left, and I see I've got a message here that from a Gentile who's listening. Thank you for listening. Who says the seven unfortunately include the three cardinal sins. Otherwise, it was going to be easier for us. Yes, the Torah demands all of us to be moral, And they do include the three cardinal sins, which unfortunately the world tends to indulge themselves more than they need to be. So yes, the Torah from a Jewish from a Jewish perspective, and if I could say going back from a rabbinic, from a godly perspective, is that every single person is a piece of godliness, and every single person has come here to spread goodness, kindness, righteousness, morality to the world. And Jew and Gentile need to practice and step up to the plate. The last thing I quickly want to talk about is the fact that the Torah was given in a desert. A desert is a public place, right? And the reason why it was given is a few. Number one, we should know that, you know, one can't say it's my inheritance, not yours, because it's a public place. You can't claim and say this is mine, not yours. It's for absolutely everybody. Second, a desert has the barest of necessities. And we should know that the study of Torah, don't give an excuse when I have more money, when I have a better car, when I can drive better, when I'm in a better position. No. We learn Torah even with the barest of necessities. It's vitally important. Third thing is the desert is a very large place. It can go on virtually without end. And that is a metaphor for the fact that when we learn Torah, it goes without end. And also our reward goes without end. There's reward in this world, and there is reward in the world to come. The desert is also a place that will tell us to prevent jealousy and prevent strife. Okay, it's an empty place. So it's for each and every single person to take. And we can also go and say that the desert has a certain purity, a certain holiness, right? And that's why Mount Sinai was in the desert. Mount Sinai being such a humble mountain, an inconsequential mountain, but was meritorious in receiving the Torah. Why? Because it's coming to teach us that we need to have a spirit of humility when we are learning the Torah. Well, that wraps up for today. I hope you enjoyed your lessons. Please God, from next week, we are going to be starting with the Ten Commandments inside, and so we are going to start dissecting a little bit of what the Ten Commandments tell us. I'm saying a little bit because we could probably spend, I don't know how long, just on the first commandment, but I'm going to give you a taste. Thank you so much for joining. This is Adel Kozulski. This is 101.9 High FM.